which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Please stand as we sing our first hymn, 237. I think we need a little nudge from the children downstairs to come and join us. You want to go check? Okay. Please turn to number 238, right beside 237. Hosanna, loud hosannas. Maybe play.
Thank you.
do the first verse again. Hosanna, Lamb, you may be seated. Children, as you come forward, please leave your palm branches at the front. Thank you. You can go sit. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. For He has called us to be His people, for He has called us to be His people, for He has called us to be His people. No turning back, no turning back. He is among us to heal our sorrow. He sends His Spirit to be our comfort. He sends our Spirit to be our comfort. He sends His Spirit to be our comfort. Till He returns, till He returns. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. To lead us home, to lead us home. Please join me for the call to worship. I will read the leader part. You will respond as the people. O God, You are our God. We seek You. We thank You for being our salvation, for being our chief cornerstone. O God, You satisfy our souls as with a rich feast. In the shadow of Your wings, we sing for joy, and You uphold us. Would you pray with me? Lord, it is easy for us to be together on Palm Sunday, to wave our palm branches, and it's easy for us to find music and good words that help us remember what Palm Sunday is about. But what if You arrived inviting us to really lay down something important to us to acknowledge Your arrival? And what if we knew the danger that accompanies You or a sense that the authorities were watching us as we worship today. Jesus, meet us here. Give us humility. Give us reflection as we ponder you, the hope of the whole world. Jesus, help us to see how and where you enter our world and our lives today. As you ask us to lay at your feet those things that keep us from you, that we may joyfully welcome you this morning. We pray in your name. Amen. Would our ushers please come forward for our morning offering? Let's pray together. Lord, you give us so much. Thank you for your many blessings in our lives and the ability for us to give back. And we ask that these gifts would further your kingdom today, tomorrow, in the future. Amen. Invite the children to come up for the children's story with Carol.
Now it's on. Is it on now?
Yeah.
There we go. How many of you have ever heard the expression, roll out the red carpet? Do you know what that means? I have a red carpet. You know, when they talk about rolling out the red carpet, it's usually reserved for somebody that is very important. Do you think that they rolled out the red carpet on that Palm Sunday when Jesus rode into town on a donkey?
Me.
You think they rolled out a red carpet?
Yes.
I don't think so. You know, the Bible tells us that they kept spreading their cloaks. Now, we don't call things cloaks, but Bryn has something on. Would you show them what you have? She's got a shawl, and it could be something like that, or I could use my coat. Somebody'd have to be pretty special for me to put my coat down for him to walk on it. How about you? Would you put your coat on the ground for somebody to walk on it?
No.
Have to be. Yeah. But you know, the people of Jerusalem, they believed that Jesus was a very important person. They thought that God sent Jesus to to rule their country and drive out the bad people that were in charge. So they were putting down their cloaks and they were shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And Hosanna in the highest. They were really excited that Jesus was coming. Now, when the Pharisees heard about this, they heard these praises to Jesus, and they told Jesus, "You need to rebuke these people." And you know what Jesus said to them? Jesus said, "If these people stay quiet, even these stones will cry out." Now, what I was thinking when I read this story, I'm thinking, you know, every time I see a stone, maybe it should be a reminder to me that I need to be singing praises to God. Now, the people of Jerusalem, they didn't keep their cloaks on the ground very long. You know why? Jesus explained to them that his kingdom was not on this in this world. It wasn't here on earth. So they picked up their cloaks. Now, my hope is for you that even when other people decide they don't want to follow Jesus, that you still will. There's a verse in the Bible that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life." So it's like God rolls out the carpet for us because we are that important to him. Uh-oh. So let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for each one of these children. Lord, you have said we are special to you. Help us to remember to sing your praises. Amen. Now, I'm going to invite each of you, if you would like, for this reason, because you are special to me, you're special to this church, and you are especially important to God. So if you would like, you can start down there and walk on the red carpet, and then I have something in my basket for you, and it's a stone. And what I want you to think about when you hold the stone, when you see that, you remember that we are called to sing praises to God. So you can go back to your places, and if you'd like, you can have a turn on the red carpet and come get a stone and then go back to your places. Yes. Did you want a stone?
I'll be reading from Luke 19, verses 39 to 40. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out."
Hopefully this is on. You can hear? Okay, now you can. Excuse me a minute while I get set up for this message. I'm going to do something a little different, and I don't want to be wearing my nice Goodwill sports coat while I'm doing this. I hope you'll indulge me in one of my favorite activities while I'm preaching. I know that some of the children, while I'm talking, are drawing or, you know, writing various things down. I hope that you'll indulge me while I do one of my favorite things, which is playing with clay. This is some clay that I've got that I I'm going to play with a little bit while I'm speaking this morning. Earlier in the week, I was playing with some clay in my office, and I just left it on the desk, and I really can't do much. I can't shape it in anything, and I dropped it, and it broke. Oh, dear. But this piece that I just got out this morning that has been kept in plastic, I can do all sorts of things. I'm making snakes and, I dropped it again. Oh, Steve's not here. I think I got a little cleaning to do here. Now, I dropped this the same height and it stayed together. It didn't break like the other piece did. And if you're wondering why a piece so soft and pliable like this would stay together almost no matter from what height I drop it, basic answer is because it's already broken. And it has stayed that way. And it stays that way. See, this is the amazing thing about clay. It comes from rocks. Rocks even harder than this thing. Rocks that have been formed deep within the belly of the earth by fire and magma and then gets exposed by the uplift of continents and the clashing of tectonic plates, like what you see along the Columbia Gorge. And then over time, just give it a couple of 100 million years, the certain kinds of rock with certain molecular chemical structures that I don't understand get worn down by water and ice and wind into extremely fine particles of dust that get carried by rivers like the Columbia, where then those pieces of dust settle out into the bottom of some slack water or a lake, and then they sort of stay there as kind of floofy, mucky mud. And then if the place dries up, or the earth rises for some reason or other, yes, it gets exposed, it dries out, but because of the chemical structure, they don't bond again entirely. They stay sticky, but they don't bond like rocks until if they get condensed by over another couple hundred million years by other rock or get cooked again by hot lava or something like that. But that's the process by which the hardest rocks can become beautiful pieces of pottery like what you see here, or play stuff, to make snakes or giraffes or things like that. I'm not going to keep you here while you watch me make a giraffe. But that's how it can become so soft and pliable and manageable. Rocks can. Did you know that rocks can also sing? Jesus talked about shouting rocks, saying that if you people here don't have half the sense that God gave rocks to bust loose and celebrate, then I guess the rocks will have to do it for you. That's one way of understanding what Jesus said. And it fits in with the first projection from Psalm 98. This language is wonderful language you find in the Old Testament. Like, let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. And that kind of coming, bringing forth the celebration of all creation at the Lord's coming, is what our children demonstrated for us this morning with the palm branches. There's another way of understanding that passage as well. The rocks might be crying out in outrage and anger. Because you see, the way rabbis then often talked to each other was to mention part of a passage, and that would have them all thinking about the whole passage. So if we can project the next one from Habakkuk 2, this might be what the Pharisees thought about when he told them the rocks will cry out. And these words directed at Babylon 500 years before. Woe to him who builds his house by unjust gain, setting his nest on high to escape the clutches of ruin. You have plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming your own house and forfeiting your life. The stones of the wall will cry out, and the beams of the woodwork will echo it. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by injustice. So there it might be that Jesus is warning the Pharisees who come out there that, you know, just because you are citizens of Jerusalem, do not think that you are any better off or any more safe than the Babylonians who were taken to task. The stones of their walls would cry out against them for their immorality and idolatry and injustice and imperialism and such. And this warning of Jesus would come true 40 years later when the Romans destroyed the city and the temple. Now, if you were to ask me, so which stones is Jesus talking about having cry out? Would it be celebrating stones singing for the coming of the Lord, or is it outraged stones crying out against injustice and idolatry and oppression? I would lean 60-40 in favor of singing, celebrating stones. But I think that if I were to ask Jesus, Jesus, which ones did you have in mind, the singing, celebrating stones or the outraged prophetic ones, I think Jesus would say, well, which one do you need most to hear right now? There's a third kind of rock in this passage, not quite as clear. It's the most dangerous kind of rock. I mean, any of these rocks, whether they're singing, celebrating rocks or outraged ones, throw them at someone and that'll hurt. But these kinds of rocks, the third kind, are the most dangerous kind, precisely because they also hold the most precious treasure within, the most power and potential. But only if they get worn down and softened enough to be pliable and manageable like this clay. And those are the kinds of stones we hear about in this passage from Ezekiel. These are not stones that you'd find on the wall. These are not stones you'd find on the ground. This is what Ezekiel says. This is a promise of God. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So these most dangerous kinds of stones we find within the human soul or in the human chest. There are human hearts. And like clay, they can be responsive, soft, pliable, workable, open and ready to the very creative, skillful, tender, powerful hands of God. Or they can be hard, impenetrable, and impenitent in God's hands. These are the most dangerous kinds of rocks also, those stony hearts, because the rock-hard nature of those of our hearts, where and whenever they're like that, that can be so easily confused for righteousness or virtue. The worst thing that can happen to us, according to the Bible, is that our hearts would become impenetrable and impenitent and resistant to the work of God among us. If it's dangerous because also we will miss out on all the wonderful joy and the gifts and the goodness of God that God would share with us. When we build walls within and around our hearts to protect them from, say, grief, then they're no longer open to gratitude. If we build walls, stony walls around our hearts to protect them from injury or sorrow or loss, then we're also protecting them from blessing. If we're building walls around our hearts to protect them from insult or injury from other people, then we're also walling our hearts against communion with other people or with God. Now, whatever I'm saying about hardness of heart or softness of heart, please do not confuse being soft-hearted with being soft-headed. Please do not confuse having firmness of rock hard firmness of heart with having firmness of commitments or covenants or convictions or purposes in this world. Don't confuse that. I don't mean for us to confuse being open-hearted with being empty-headed. Jesus can only talk about or warn us against hardness of heart because of his conviction and commitment so firm to compassion, to the honor and the kingdom of God. Also, I don't want to say anything that would leave us thinking that we can divide people into those who are just hard-hearted and those who are just soft-hearted. I think we're all kind of a crazy mix of both softness of heart in some ways, some areas of our life toward some people, and hardness of heart in other ways, so that we're in kind of strange, self-contradictory ways. So to divide people up into hard-hearted versus soft-hearted is a very hard-hearted thing to do to begin with. And I had to become aware of hard spots, little fortresses in my own heart. Well, I'll tell you about a time. The civil rights movement of the 1960s had a big effect on my becoming Christian, touched me deeply spiritually. So did the anti-war movement during the Vietnam War. So in college, I could congratulate myself on being very soft and tender of heart towards my African-American friends or my immigrant Latino friends, because I come from an immigrant family too. I didn't realize how hard with fear my heart was towards people with my own skin color, but often with their sleeves rolled up, with muscle shirts, driving muscle cars, with military or biker tattoos and cigarettes in their pockets or rolled up in their sleeves and hair greased back a little bit. And until one of them stopped his car to pick me and a couple of other folks from our college up because the car had broken down on the road in the middle of Arkansas. And then when a similar kind of guy, a friend of his, came in his wrecker to bring us all back and tow the car in. And then somebody else just like that came to pick us up and take us to his trailer in the piney woods of Arkansas and fed us. And then later that night took us to the Greyhound bus station where we rode the Greyhound bus with other people just like them. And they were all very tender-hearted toward us college students. And that's when I had an encounter with some of the hard spots in my own heart. And I've had numerous times then where it feels like God is putting his finger on a little fortress within my own heart. And funny how that part hurts the most sometimes for being so hard. That was when I realized that one of the things too that hardens our hearts or creates these fortresses within our hearts is that kind of pride like I just described. That I had the sense of I can defend my own virtue and value by having somebody else to look down upon. Remember that story that Jesus told about the Pharisee and the tax collector who went into the temple on the same day to pray? And one of them just couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven but said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And the other one prayed, "Lord, I thank you I'm not like that guy over there, but I do this and this and this and this." That kind of pride is one of the things that causes these rock-hard places within our hearts. And I wonder if that was the Pharisee who said to Jesus, "Tell your unrefined, undignified, uneducated clowns out there to stifle themselves. It's unseemly." And I imagine, too, that that pride was generated by fear. The fear that here's a move of God that totally seems to bypass us. He didn't come to us for any kind of certificate or any kind of examination. And this risks bringing a reprisal from the Romans. What are they going to think? So fear is another guaranteed hard heart hardener, I should say. And in addition, there is resentment. That so often leaves hard places in our hearts as well. The resentment that this is no Messiah that we would recognize. Again, he didn't check in with us. We're the self-appointed guardians of respectable religiosity here. These are going to make us totally irrelevant, and we resent that. But it's not just the Pharisees who are exhibiting hardness of heart. As Carol brought out in her children's story, some of those very people whose hearts were opened up and made soft and ready to celebrate with the stones for whatever reason, the coming of the Lord, shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," within a few days were yelling, "Crucify him," because of their resentment that this was not the Messiah that they expected. Everything that was happening then was exposing those hard places in their hearts. So what's a cure? What softens up the human heart for being responsive to God? A couple of things I'll mention, and one of them is just the school of hard knocks that life so often is for us. Thinking again about those disciples, the hard knocks that they experienced with their own failures, their failure to stand by Jesus, to stay with him and pray with him, to confess him when Peter was confronted in the courtyard of the high priest, their own disappointment with themselves and with God, and their failures of understanding, could have hardened their hearts to the point, like it did for Judas, leading to desperation and to disappointment with God, to hopelessness and despair, to the point where for Judas it even became self-destructive. But for those who had just enough patience to wait and wonder through the incomprehensible events of Good Friday and just the total emptiness of that Holy Saturday, for them, then the breaking of their hearts and those hard spots in their hearts made them open and receptive to the joy of that Easter Sunday. And so then God was able to shape their resistance into receptivity, their fear into faith, their grief into gratitude, their resentment into release, their arrogance into appreciation, their judgmentalism into joy. But any more on that, and I'm getting into next Sunday's message. So we all carry within us some hard spots protecting those parts of us that have been bruised or broken by someone or something. Something that has left us fearful, maybe our own sins or the sins we do or sins that have been done against us. Paul the Apostle calls these hard spots within us strongholds. If we could project that next passage from 2 Corinthians 10, where he writes that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, don't let that military kind of imagery fool us into thinking that then these hard resistance spots are only going to be conquered and softened by hard, hateful, fearful, condemning, confrontational tactics. Because those kinds of things, that condemnation only hardens the hard places of our hearts. The only thing that really changes us, that softens us up and changes us, is a love so great, so warm, so attractive and magnetic, so melting, that it doesn't need to change us in order to love us more. That's what changes. The hard spots of our hearts, can't really be broken down by fighting. They are melted by love. Kind of like that rock being worn down gently by wind and water, rain and ice. They can only be melted and softened by the love of that one who comes humble, lowly, riding on a donkey, leading the joyful cheers of all the saints and angels and creation, yes, probably including rocks, and a joyful chorus of praise and thanksgiving, of relief and release, and inviting us to join in that chorus. And if we have half the sense that God gave rocks, we'll come out from behind the stony walls of all our internal fortresses and strongholds and join heaven and earth in singing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And blessed are we as the stones of our heart get softened into clay by the master potter of our souls and for the master potter of our souls. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, the next part, we're going to do something just a little different. While we sing that next song, Just As I Am, and maybe keep playing a few verses afterwards, I'll invite you to reflect on the message. And if, you know, you can say, yeah, man, there's this hard, cold spot in my heart because of so-and-so or because of such-and-such or something. Or I want to finally yield my heart over to the Master Potter for him to shape as he wishes. Jan will be in the back to hear you and pray, and I'll be up here if you want to do that as well. Or if you just sort of think later on, you know, that spoke to me, and I think I want to talk with one of the pastors about that or about this hard, cold spot in my life, this fearful place that I'm protecting. We're available any other time, too. But while we sing the next song, Just As I Am, feel free to come forward. Okay. Yeah. Better plan B here. We'll both be in the back.
Yes, we're going to sing number 92 and sing The Journey. 92 in the Green Book.
Please join me for confession and reconciliation. I'll be reading from Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Who will confess Jesus as Lord today? We are all invited to confess Jesus as Lord. Let us bring ourselves to God in prayer. Give us the courage to confess your Son, Jesus, as our Lord. When others vie for our loyalty, we will confess Jesus as Lord. When earthly powers claim supremacy, we will confess Jesus as Lord. When our souls hunger for reality and truth, we will confess Jesus as Lord. In the morning and in the evening, we will confess Jesus as Lord. Our generous God has provided for us.
We have been praying by means of the scripture and by song together. Let's continue our prayers this morning and through this week with any testimonies or reflections, cares or concerns that we might want to share with each other today. So if you have anything you wish to share by response or testimony or shared prayer concern, please raise your hand and I'll bring the mic to you. Oh, yes, there you go. Steve.
Craig Genrich is having back trouble, and serious back trouble. He's not able to sleep, and I think this has been going on for at least a month. I miss him sitting next to me. I'm sure that he would welcome all of our prayers and our thoughts for him.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Avery.
This is a little bit more of an announcement, but the junior high and MYF will be selling more coffee this week for the Mennonite Convention. In the back, and then we'll have a location up next to the piano. So, thank you.
Thank you. And how long will you be continue to sell coffee? Until it's gone. Okay. Because I haven't drank all that I got last week yet. So. Pardon me? Oh, put it in the freezer. Okay. All right. And this is for raising money for going to the conference, the convention this summer. Okay. Serenity.
I just wanted to bring your, or like, just share about what we've been talking about in MYF Sunday School and how today we tried to put some of that into practice. We've been talking about, obviously, we've been following Lent and the and the Sundays as we get closer to Easter, and our focus has been giving, giving of ourselves and in example, as Jesus is the example of the greatest giver. And today we've done a couple times of just trying to practice what we're teaching, and today we worked on dishes in the breakfast area. So if you happen to see a kid, you can give them a hug and just encourage them to keep their eyes and their ears open to their own community and how they have so much to offer, so much. And we really don't ask much of them, but they each have so much to offer. So.
Thank you for that. And yes, indeed, thank you for your help in the kitchen this morning. Don brought to my attention this morning that in the latest, The Mennonite, if you get it, there are two news items related to the experience that we had in Burkina Faso last November. A report about the celebration of the 40th anniversary, plus some reflections by John Roth, the historian who visited us last fall. So if you have a copy of that, I encourage you to read it. Any other sharing? Well, let's go to prayer. And there will be a few times of guided silence, and then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. And if you wish, you may follow along the version that we have printed in our bulletin just below the order of worship. Let's pray. You, Lord, the master potter of our souls, working ever in ways, even before we were aware, to shape us and make of us vessels to receive your grace and also to pour it out and share it. Thank you for your work in our lives, some of which we can see, much of which unknown even before we were conceived, even before we were born, to make us indeed vessels for your service and for your honor. And this I pray for each one of us here, again, that your Spirit would work through good times and through hard times as well, Lord, to make us vessels that hold you and that pour you out and share you with the world. So make us, Lord, soft enough to receive, soft enough to be shaped, but firm enough, Lord, to be used of you. Lord, thank you for everyone whom you have brought here and the hunger for eternity that you've put in our hearts. And as the psalmist says, our souls thirst for you, our heart and flesh cry out for you. For you, Lord, finally are the source and the goal and the end and the force of our lives. Grant, O God, that we would be shaped together, not only as persons, but as a community, a congregation, and as a network of congregations, again serving for your honor, holding and pouring out and sharing your grace and goodness. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you are already stirring within us, such as the service and the wisdom, the care and the energy of our youth and children. Bless them all, O God, with a sense that you are their father and mother, with them, blessing them, calling them forward, gifting them, using them, O Lord, and loving them from the youngest and all the days of all of our lives gathered here. Lord, bless indeed their preparations for convention and make all those preparations and the experience itself, O Lord, truly a blessing for them. And dear Lord, we lift up Craig, who is not with us and can't be with us today because of his back pain. O Lord, bring your healing power and the wisdom of healers to bear on his behalf, and show us how we can be of support, O Lord, to him and to Jana as they deal with this illness. And Lord, we lift up again a broken, struggling world in which your church ministers and serves and sometimes suffers. And we pray for those parts of the church that are indeed suffering persecution right now, that are suffering poverty, corruption, and violence. We pray for those churches on the other side of the border to the south, seeking to minister in a time of such chaos. And we pray, O God, that you would knit our hearts with theirs to be one body demonstrating your love. And God, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us this week. We pause in this moment of silence to thank you for all the reminders of your love, of your life flowing through our veins, through our lives, our families, and our homes. Guide us as we ponder your goodness to us, Lord. And guide us, Lord, too, as we ponder those who need a greater touch of your goodness, and ourselves, too, whatever our needs and fears might be. Hear them as we lift them to you, we pray. And we can pray, Lord, because you are ever interceding for us. And we join you in the prayer that you taught all your disciples who pray everywhere in all times. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please take your blue hymnal and turn to 427. This will be our sending song, You Shall Go Out with Joy. 427, please stand.
You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Trees of the field will clap their hands. Trees of the field will clap their hands. While you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Trees of the field will clap their hands. Trees of the
go in peace.